Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
There is no if about it. Love is why you are here. Love is why I'm here. Sometimes when I'm with a family, when a loved one is making their transition into the next phase of life, I'm asked questions around the meaning of life and why are we here. And I always give the same answer. Love. We're here to give love and teach about love by the ways in which we live. And we're here to learn about love from everyone around us, by how well and skillful and effective they are about giving love and receiving love as well. It's what it's all about. We are always teaching and we are always learning. And when we've taught and learned what is ours to do in this particular incarnation, we move on to the next. And even that process of making our transition continues the teaching and learning process. So yes, love is why we are here. And as spiritual leaders, we are engaged in using our love to transcend our world. As individuals, to transcend the things that would limit us from the full expression of who we've come here to be, and to transcend collectively the conditions in the world that might limit others from being who they've come here to be. All right. I love the U.S. Army's former slogan, "Be all you can be." And I'm like, yeah, you go for it. Let's all be all that we can be. And the way we do that is to eliminate and release any blocks to receiving love or giving love. You know, somebody who demonstrated this was Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, there is a story of Jesus speaking to his disciples. And this recounting happens prior to the what we call Passion Week. And in this little dialogue with them, he's telling them about in this world there are drama and persecution and all those sort of things. But take good courage. I have overcome the world. And he tells them this prior to going through that experience that we call Passion Week, going through all those tremendous events that get so much attention later on in our holiday observance of Easter. I believe we can do the same thing. I don't think that story was just put there idly to show how Jesus is the only one who can do this sort of thing. I believe we can do the same thing. We too can transcend the limiting factors in our world while we're still here in the world. We can experience the fullness of life still being present to all the facts and not let them overwhelm us. And I don't know about you, but it seems like there are a lot of potentially overwhelming facts. And one of the ways we do that is through our capacity to be kind. In this series of talks that we'll be giving during this Lenten season, we are looking at and exploring and leaning into attributes of character that we all already have that we can develop that will help us as individuals to overcome the challenges of the day and to model to others how they can too. And I wanted to start this series with the most heart-centered of them all, kindness, because we can always be kind. We take a lot of inspiration from a variety of different spiritual leaders in the world, and I love that about Unity and New Thought, because we see the capacity to learn truth from all corners of the world. And one of the world's great truth teachers, one of the most loving forces in the world today, is the Dalai Lama. And one of the things he said that has been quoted by many people around the world was this: "My religion is very simple. My religion is kindness." Well, that sure gets down to brass tacks pretty quickly, doesn't it? He's really talking about the basic and the core of why does he do what he does? What can all of us do to make a constructive impact in the world? And it's interesting that a religious leader would say this, because he makes this statement. He doesn't say, you have to follow the rituals, you have to do wear the special clothes, you have to go to the special place, you have to have the special teaching, you have to have the special scripture, you have to be with these people, you have to go through all the steps. He goes, no. It's pretty simple, really. Just be kind. Just be loving. You know, you don't have to be a religious person. Even the most avowed atheist can still be kind, can still practice being in the world in such a way that they cause no harm. Is that really so hard? You know, in our Western tradition, Jesus said something very similar as well. In the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about how important it is to be kind. And he even says, you must be kind to the ungrateful and even the wicked, for God loves them too. Well, heck, I was wanting somebody to blame. I was wanting somebody to vent my anger at. I was wanting somebody else to be wrong. I didn't want to have to practice what I preach. Who wants to do that? Ugh. And yet, and spiritual leaders seeking to transcend the angst of the world, we have to approach the world and ourselves from a higher perspective, from the perspective of love and the perspective of kindness. As the bottom line is, ain't none of us going away. We're all in this together, whether we like it or not. So how much better, how much wiser will it be for us to treat each other with kindness? Even the wicked and ungrateful, who may not appreciate it, but so what? Be kind anyway. There's a power and a presence within each one of us, which is much greater and bigger than someone's behavior. But that's problematic, isn't it? And it's problematic because often we look at others' behavior or other organizations or even our own organizations, and we get really angry sometimes when we see them spouting off different negative, we'll just call it that, perspectives. Or we turn on social media and there's lots of negativity. Or we turn on the television, there's lots of negativity. And it's like, what do we do with our anger? That's the question, isn't it? Because on the one hand, we want to be kind. We get that. We really get this big picture about like our unity of Fairfax core value, being love in action and being peace and all these wonderful things. And yet there's this thing over here that's just yanking our chains and pushing our buttons. And we feel angry a lot. And then we judge our anger and say, well, something must be wrong because I feel angry. Well, something is wrong. But it's not a bad thing. I commented a few weeks ago in our series on spiritual leadership that Arun Gandhi, grandson of the great Mahatma Gandhi, once asked his grandfather, he said, grandfather, you never get angry, do you? And grandfather said, yes, I do get angry. I just use it constructively. Because this is an important part of a talk on kindness, is what do we do with its apparent opposite? Anger. How do we use that constructively? There's a book I've been reading, and I've really been inspired by it, by Donald Rothberg, called The Engaged Spirituality, A Buddhist Approach to Inner and Outer Transformation. And he talks a lot about anger in there, and how to make friends with it, how to make peace with it. How do we address it? And he really gives four ways of addressing anger that are so important for us to be aware of. Because most importantly, what he talks about in there is that there is a way to transform our anger, to pull out from it its energy and intelligence, and separate that from its reactivity. As you know, we can get really reactive when we get angry. And in his discussion on anger, there are really four steps. hopefully I have them remembered. They're right there if I need them. The first one is to just recognize, where is our anger coming from? Sometimes it comes from the fact that somebody did something specifically very mean to us, or and it's like, okay, wow, I understand where that's coming from. Sometimes our anger comes from the way in which actions or behaviors of individuals or groups have thwarted or prevented the expression of love or justice. And what we value is love and justice. So we understand, where's our anger coming from? This is really important to understand that. Secondly, we want to understand the difference between the experience of anger and the way in which we respond to it. So where does it come from? And then secondly, what's the experience? What are we actually feeling? Where's it coming from? And then how are we going to respond to it? And sometimes it's better not to respond immediately. I think probably every parent has taught their child like the 10-second rule. When you get mad about something, count to 10 before you respond to it. Or we teach people and adults in classes the difference between reacting and responding. And I have a really dear friend of mine who was very clear about his teaching around the 24-hour rule. So when he gets one of those emails that really just yanks his chain and pushes his button, he says, I'll write the response, but I'll wait 24 hours before I send it to make sure I still want to send it. So we want to understand the difference there. Next, we want to understand how we can approach anger so that we really can find in it the value and the intelligence. Now, this is done primarily through our spiritual practices. And in his teaching around nonviolent resistance, Mahatma Gandhi had prayer meetings quite often. And so did Dr. King. So we use our spiritual practices when we feel angry to ask the wisdom within ourselves, ask the spirit within, or even the spirit without, what's going on here? And those practices include mindfulness. Being mindful and aware, what's going on in our bodies? Where do we feel it? Where's this anger coming from? What's it really about? What buttons in me are getting pushed? Or we use the spiritual practice of loving kindness meditation so that we might be kind to ourselves and to others, even the one who is the apparent offender or the organization that's the apparent offender. Maybe really maintain some sort of empathy with that. Or we use a variety of reflective practices, like journaling. And journal, what's going on here? What's this about? There are all kinds of different spiritual tools we can use to understand our anger and what it is telling us, and most importantly, what gift is it bringing us? And then lastly, we look at how can we respond in ways that will be effective in getting us back to love and getting us back to justice. And getting us back to wherever it is we need to be. Now, Dr. King and Mahatma Gandhi intuited and learned and came up with nonviolent ways of addressing anger. Whether it was through boycotts and marches and sit-ins and this sort of thing, their nonviolence was a way of addressing anger without being in that consciousness of eye for an eye, without fueling violence towards the other. And in their teaching of nonviolence, they really emphasized empathy, to get into the heart or endeavor to connect with the heart of the other, to see what's going on with them as well. What need or value are they trying to meet? Maybe there's a better way to meet our needs and values together. And in the very least, even if we can't, then by empathizing with the other, we might be able to see the other as a human being who is striving for happiness and avoiding suffering. Because if we can maintain that sense of connection with the humanity of the other, then we have a greater possibility of working together, finding a solution. Or at least deciding where to go and how to proceed without harming one another. That's kindness in action. That's using our anger. Because anger exists on a continuum from simple minor annoyance to outright rage. And when we get to this rage space, our capacity to create a world that works for everyone goes down the tubes. But if we can use the intelligence of anger, then we can use its energy to do the things that will get us to where we want to be. We don't ever want to waste an experience like that, even if sometimes it takes longer than we even think necessary to bring resolution. Because remember, none of us is going anywhere. We must find a way to transcend the angst and the discords in our lives, in our personal lives, and in our collective life, if we truly wish to create a world that works for everyone. There's a part of this anger and this kindness conversation that else we need, another aspect that we need to consider. And that's being kind to ourselves. In being kind to ourselves, we recognize that there will be times as human beings where our beliefs, where our values, and our behaviors maybe don't exactly line up. maybe there's a little bit of a difference between what we're saying and what we're doing. And then when we have the realization, oh my gosh, there's a disconnect. There's a temptation there to beat ourselves up. Oh, I'm such a bad person. Woe is me. Stop. Just stop it. When you make those discoveries, and I hope you will, because as a human being, you probably will. I know I have. Oh, geez, Louise, let me tell you stories. When we make that realization, when we become aware we've had a breakthrough, it's like, ah, I've had a breakthrough. Pat yourself on the back when you have that breakthrough. Because then you can see what direction you need to use your energy. If you're angry at yourself, then use that energy to bring yourself into alignment with where you really want to be. Don't beat yourself up. Beating up yourself or somebody else is never going to make anything better. So I invite you to be kind to yourself. Because sometimes you're the wicked and the ungrateful one. Sometimes I've been the wicked and ungrateful one. And the love that God is universal. I want to be an open channel. That chant was specifically designed to remind us all that we are agents and conduits of kindness. We have to apply that to ourselves. So where do we go from here? I invite us into a moment of prayer. That's where we go. To connect with that space of kindness. Mark Twain once said, "Kindness is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see." So go with me into this place of hearing and seeing in the depths of our being. We give thanks today that whatever came before this moment, simply a stepping stone to get us to this moment. And some of those stepping stones were clear and easy to navigate. Some were slippery and dangerous and ice-covered. But here we are, quickening our resolve to allow the grace that kindness is to move through us, to take this journey of transcendence so that we might release and let go of anything that is not kind in us. And to not attach to those things which are not kind in the outer world. Whether it's name-calling or negativity, it does not have to be our experience. Because we can be kind. It is the truth of who each one of us is. It is the truth of each one of Miss Wolf's students. And so today we commit to kindness on our journey of transcendence and our journey to Easter, that ultimate triumph that truly is our story. And we give thanks for this time together. And so it is, and so we let it be. Peace be with you, and namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.